If you're a note taker, the title this morning is Reconciliation God's Way. Reconciliation God's Way. And I want to talk to you a little bit about reconciliation, what it is, what it means. And what does it mean to us as a Christian to be reconciled with God, doing it His way? You know, a lot of times we want things to work out and reconcile with someone, but we want it on our terms. We want them to do it our way, and this is how we want you to do it. And unfortunately, I'm going to share with you, reconciling with God is on His terms, not on yours. Amen? I mean, we want it a certain way. We want reconciliation. When my wife and I, once in a while, on occasion, argue, it's less than it used to be. Amen? Because when we were first married, I mean, you know, I was always right. You know, I mean, the man is always right. Doesn't know what the Bible says. No, I was just checking, right? And then my dad says, you know, sometimes you just need to learn to zip it up and suck it up. And I went, yes, sir. And found that, gee, life can be easier. Life can be better. Amen. But it's a give and take, and it's better to allow them to take a little bit more, because eventually God always rectifies the scale of things. But I want to share with you this morning about reconciliation. And many people in this world, and you see that you talk to that are religious, have a perspective of Jesus on a cross in a different way. They oh, it's a cliche. It's Jesus died on this cross. Who cares? But once you get an understanding, and just think for a moment about the cross. Think about it. Jesus isn't there no more. But if you think about what He's done, and visually think about the pain that He took and the suffering that He had and what He endured for us, to reconcile us to the Father. Remember, we had no connection point back to God. That's why He sent Jesus. Jesus isn't on the cross no more. I love these people when they have these crosses and they have the Jesus. I want to get my little screwdriver out and undo those four little screws. Say, now you got it right. Amen. Amen. He's no longer on the cross. And you think about what Jesus endured for us to reconcile with the Father. He was rejected. Have you ever been rejected? You ever been rejected? Maybe because of your color, because of the way you speak, maybe because you're maybe not as educated as the next person. Maybe it's because maybe you're rejected by your family. Amen. Maybe you were picked on. Maybe you were told. Maybe you were mocked at school. Maybe you were a nerd. I used to be a nerd and had the glasses with the tape, and people used to pick on me. And you know, and I know I come a long way. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Jesus was rejected. He was scorned. He was mocked. He was made fun of. He was picked on. He was even rejected by His own people. Jesus was brutally beaten. He was tortured for our sakes. And this morning we even talked about that Jesus' blood serves as an offering for all sin for all mankind. Now this morning I want to share with you, and maybe you've had some teaching and training that's contrary to this. This morning I'm going to teach you Bible. B-I-B-L-E. What the Bible says. Not what man says. Not what a man got a great idea of and then spun it and made it sound good and used it to write a book to further his financial checkbook. I'm going to teach you Bible. That's all I do. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I teach Bible. Amen? There is only one way to God. Let me get this for you this morning. There is only one way to God. There's not six different ways. There isn't, you know, if you do these eight things, you go to heaven. If you take the, you know, there's a 12-step program, you know, an AA, and that's a good program. But I always knew it. If you took the first step to Jesus, the other 11 steps you can kind of don't worry about, because God's going to take care of that. Amen? There's only one way to God. And the word I want to share with you this morning, reconciliation, this is what it means. You might want to write this down. The word reconciliation means the ending of conflict or renewing of a friendly relationship between disputing people or groups. Let me say that again. The word reconciliation means the ending of a conflict or renewing of a friendly relationship between disputing people and groups. I don't know if you've read the newspaper. I don't know if you go and turn on the Crisis News Network or the Fox or ABC or NBC. there is some conflict going on. There are some groups of people that aren't getting along very well. There's some animosities. There's some hardships. There's some problems. There's people in America that are, their husband and wife are arguing and fighting. There's some conflict. But the Bible says reconciliation means a settlement or an understanding to bring together what was once separated. Take a look at the slide this morning. You see that cross? You couldn't get to the other side unless Jesus reconciled it. You couldn't get to be with the Father over there unless you go through the cross. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. It isn't that you're a good person. No, a good person still goes to hell. Amen. I got people say, well, I'm a good person. I don't need to go to church. No, you don't have to go to church, but then you miss out on the fellowship of building yourself up in the things of God. Amen. God's desire is for the body of Christ to stay connected to one another. That's the reason why I hate religion. I'm so opposed against religion because God had created relationship, not religion. And what has happened is people have taken religion and said, well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian. I'm Pentecostal. I'm this, I'm that. I'm, you know, Seventh-day Adventist. They've put themselves into a category that God's never really had in the Bible. I was looking in the Bible, and I was looking where it says you have to be a good Catholic, or a good Baptist, or a good Methodist, or I didn't see it in there. I just, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I've been looking at it for about 20 years now that I've been saved, and I haven't found it. And what happens is those terms, those things, cause people to have conflict and disagree with one another, and then the body of Christ can't get together and fellowship with one another because, well, that brother, you know, I believe the whole Bible. Amen. I love the Baptist brothers. They'll get you saved every time you come to church. Amen. Pentecostal people will be talking in tongues. I didn't know what they were talking about the first time. I had run out of the building. I was scared. Catholic folks have the religious the stations of the cross, and we do those things. I mean, I was an altar boy. I know. I mean, I grew up in that religion type thing, and I never had that relationship with Jesus. Our goal as Christians is to reconcile people back to God. Doesn't matter what you label you want to put on yourself. I call myself Christian because I want to be Christ-like. Amen. I want to act like Jesus. And I tell people I'm a Christian, and I hope that I don't blow it for God. Amen. All right. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about this reconciliation, what it means, and what God wants us to do, and how do we get on the same page as Jesus. And we got to be about His business. So I want to take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is out of the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to help you with the scripture because, you know, I've read the Bible a lot, and then there's sometimes I get this impartation from God, and I've read the scripture several times, and God was sharing some things with me about the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So let me put it in the other word. Those that haven't come to Christ haven't become the new person yet. Because God's not done with them yet. God wasn't done with me when I was 25-year-old living in sin, watching pornography, you know, cheating on the taxes, being a liar. Come on now. I know none of you done that, but that's a prereq to be a pastor. You've had to have done all those things. I mean, I love these guys that have their pastor's kids, and they say, well, you know, I never had to go through that, and I never went there. So you never really got to experience life. You never been drunk driving like Dale or me. I was getting good at it. Cheech and Chong had nothing on the smoke in the car. Mine, you couldn't see out the windows either, praise God. But that was the old person. And it means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. The old way, I used to go this way, but now I go 180 from that direction. I don't hang around and associate with the same old people I used to because they used to bring me down and will suck me back into the old lifestyle. I made a switch. I decided to go to church and start hanging around with people that, man, they were kind of creepy, man. They were kind of weird. They were, you know, they were broken, busted, and disgusted, but there was something God was doing in their lives. They found something. The old life was gone, and the new life began. In verse 18, it says, and all of this is a gift from God. I don't know about you, but I like gifts. I like when my wife buys me a nice bottle of cologne. It's one she picks out. I won't say anything more after that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Jesus came to die on a cross so that we could be reconciled back to the Father. And he gave us one task. Do what I did. Bring people to Jesus. Through your lifestyle, you're no longer that person who used to sell dope on the corner or prostitute yourself or look at yourself in a small way or amounted to nothing. You are a Christ follower. It means you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And he says through that reconciliation, you can reconcile people to him as well. That's our task. It says verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Let me stop there. It's not for you and I to judge people and what they're doing. It's our thing is to go there and change them by the power of God that's inside of you. When you walk into the room and it's dark, when you walk in, you're the light. When you walk in a neighborhood full of crime, when you walk in, the crime's got to go. You're the one who changes it all. You shift the atmosphere. You're the one, when something's going wrong, people can't wait for you to come because you're going to have a word. When hell is chasing you down and you don't respond to it and you continue to walk in God's word, people are looking. People are watching. Because here's what verse 20 says. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Man, you just got a promotion. You're an ambassador. That's how much God trusts you. That you're now an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That means nothing is off limits for you when it comes to going somewhere for someone. My nephew is an ambassador for Christ when he goes to Peru and when he goes to Cambodia and when he goes to these places where there's bugs, the size of a rat flying around. That's good for him to go to those places. It says, God is making his appeal through us. It says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we would be made right with God through Christ Jesus. It is our goal, our task, to reconcile people back. To stop the feuding. To say, hey, come back to God. To plead with them. To say, hey, follow Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I keep up with current events. And I'm saddened by what I see when it comes to race. I didn't know that Jesus had a favorite color. Y'all going to be surprised. When you get to heaven, you are. Jesus didn't look at the color of the skin. He looked at the person that's within. And the last time I looked, the same blood that was in Jesus that was sacrificed on the cross is the same blood that was inside of you. Come on. Oh. I don't know about you. I'm walking around. I used to be blinded by sin, but once I got changed, once I reconciled with Christ, I realized there is no color in God's eyes but the blood of Jesus. And if you look through people through the blood of Jesus, then you don't insult them because of what color, nationality, race, or where they're at in life. Come on now. The Bible says, I'm just saying, you're an ambassador. Now, if you're an ambassador for the United States of America, you go to different countries with different colors, different races, different nationalities, different beliefs. Correct? But you're an ambassador for Jesus. So when you go and you meet people of different color, race, creed, belief, it's for you to then bring them Jesus. Not beat them up over the head and say, thus saith the Lord, the Bible. No, just be Christ-like. To the Muslim person that you know you disagree with, be like Christ. They're expecting something different. They're expecting to have an angry American on them. But you're not angry. You're loving just like Christ. See, Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection brought us back into fellowship with the Father. We are now connected to the Heavenly Father because of Jesus. Jesus was the go-between for all of us. Let me say it again. Jesus was the go-between for all of us. The Bible says that we're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ to the Father. Why? Because of what Jesus had already done for us. He reconciled us to the Father because, you know, God wasn't real happy with us. Amen? We became a new creature, a new creation in Christ. That's what the Bible says. So the old way, your old nature, the old things you used to do, you don't do no more. Amen? Because there's someone dwelling inside of you called the Holy Spirit that's checking you and saying, hey, don't do that no more. I wasn't called to the strip club ministry because I spent too many times in the strip club before I was in ministry. Come on now. I don't go there. I've been delivered. I've been set free. I'm going to say something. It's going to be harsh. It's time for us to grow up and step it up. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I said. I don't. It's time that we grow up. It's time that we step it up. If Jesus had excuses, we would be in trouble. Well, you know, I got an aching pain today. I can't go to church today. I can't go do that because I only have $3 in my wallet and I don't believe Jesus enough to get me gas miles to where I need to go. Lay over that car, lay hands on it and say, I'm believing for 40 miles to a gallon to get me where I need to go. Where's your faith? We make excuses. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't make an excuse and say, well, you know, I came to this earth, but I really don't want to do the cross thing, God. I mean, it's not kind of painful for me. You know, some nails in my hands and, you know, some thorns in my head and, this, you know, a little sword in my side and whooping on my back. Send somebody else. He didn't say that. Think about that. But we don't want to go out of our way to help somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And God's going to say, I'm just trying to help you get something so that you can go reconcile someone back to me. But it may cost you something. You may have to spend some of your own time and some of your own money and make an effort. And you might be tired and you have to get up at 6 o'clock to go to that place that God tells you to go because someone's there that you need to counsel with or talk to or not. Just throwing it out there. For God loves us. He's not holding a grudge against us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be blessed coming in and more blessed going out. And when you understand God's love, you won't have a problem doing what he tells you to go do. Once you understand what he did on that cross and how he was mocked and made fun of and picked on and ridiculed and all that kind of stuff and told things on him that weren't true, and yet once you understand that, you'll do anything for Jesus. You make yourself a fool sometimes for the things of God. Amen? We must bring forth His word to all people in every nation. It rests on your shoulders and my shoulders to make that happen. That's why we support missionaries. Why? Because they're going somewhere I can't go, or God hasn't called me to go. Now, I've been asked again, my nephew said, oh, they have a pastor's conference and there's going to be, you know, 1,500 pastors and you could go and speak to these pastors. And I'm like, well, yes, are they coming to Las Vegas? And, you know, and he said, no, we got to go there in Cambodia. And I went, I ain't interested in eating my cat, but, well, you know. Oh, is that chicken? Well, is that the boneless chicken? You ever wave a cat? And you notice how you can, maybe, I've got a cat, and you can bend him up inside. It's like he's spineless, you know. And, you know, it's like boneless chicken. Well, yeah, okay, you'll get that later when you're eating Chinese food today. But I'm just trying to help, praise God. Meow. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you know, I haven't been called to those nations. I've been called to the United States. That's a nation under God, indivisible. Liberty and justice for all. But I know God's working. I mean, I'll end up probably going one of these places and visiting and watch the power of God working. Amen. My wife says, and you'll be going alone, praise God. I'll be taking care of the house. Amen. Kind of like the time I was asked to go preach in Siberia, and I went, where? I already been to Michigan. I don't need to go there, you know, Siberia. The people need you, Pastor, and they sent me a letter, and would you come and preach during our cold season? And I went, isn't it cold season like all the time? Siberia? So we're Christ ambassadors. That's what the Bible says. We're Christ ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us that we go speak for Christ and plead people to come back to God. There's many ways of doing that. I see people do crusades. I see people just being themselves, being like Christ, and leading people to Christ. That's more my style. I'm not, you know, I don't go to people and sit in a lunchroom or go to a restaurant and say, thus saith the Lord, brother. Those gauges that you have in your ears look like Dumbo. That's a sin. No, I don't do that. That's pretty interesting, man. Pretty cool. You like that? What are you doing when it's windy? You know what I mean? I talk to them. I love them. Amen? My wife and I were talking about tattoos. Now, you know, I don't like needles, so I don't have any tattoos. Amen? I don't. But it's not like that I won't pick on you because you got one. And I know there's a fascination. Once you get one, you got to have a whole bunch more, you know? And when we were growing up, In my generation, people who had them were typically people that that were in the service. They would have, you know, United States Marine Corps, or, you know, or Army, or something like that. Or there were the thugs that I was hanging around with that were going to go back into prison, and they were having a prison ministry. Amen. And they had those tattoos. But it's become a thing. That's an entryway to you to introduce Jesus to them. I'm not a big tattoo fan, but sometimes they have a nice one. I say, what made you get that? Start the conversation. What made you get that one? Why did you get that one? What does that mean to you in your life? Or they have a cross. Well, what does that mean to you? That cross, you got a nice cross on your arm. Bring them to Christ. See, God's given you an opportunity. They didn't even know that they'd put a cross on them. They don't even know what that means. But you do. And you can share, you know, that cross means a lot to me. Did I tell you about my friend? That's how you win people back to Christ. You're not beating them up over their head. Amen? You're teaching them about Jesus by being loving to them. Take a look at 1 John 5:2. 1 John 5:2. You know, Jesus taught us how to love. 1 John 5:2, it says this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That last line meant a lot to me, because at first, when I got saved, I thought, oh my God, these commandments are so burdensome. But as I learned that if I love God as I love myself, everything else kind of works itself out. I'm not going to steal from myself. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to cheat somebody out of something. I'm not going to covet my neighbor's goods or their wife's or any of that kind of stuff they got. And then it became less burdensome. But those that love God, I don't know about you, I have children. I love my children. I lay down my life for my children. I'm Daddy God in their life. They need 20 bucks, they know where to come, amen? But I always then point them to God, amen? Into the book of Job, go get one, amen? So Dad don't have to give you the $20. Just kidding. That's the book of Job. I don't know about Job, he lost it all, but at the end he got double for his trouble. Why? Because he didn't compromise. Touch your neighbor, tell him, Jesus loves you. Touch your other neighbor, says, I love you. Shout with me this morning, God has made it easy on us. I'm going to take your lead. See, Jesus had already made a way when there seems to be no way. He already caused a pathway. He already caused a way of reconciling with one another, with brother and sister. There's only one way to the Father. Take a look at the slide up here. There's only one way. One way. One way. One way. You ever been on a one-way street going the wrong way? Not good. Not good. Not good. In Michigan, they had some one-way streets. In Chicago, when I traveled there, had some one-way streets. And, you know, and then I went down to, one time down to Louisiana, and I went down there, and there's a one-way street. There's only one way to God. Amen? Only one way. Take a look at John 14:6. John 14:6. This is the New King James Version, 14:6. It says, Jesus said, when Jesus talks, you ought to listen. When E.F. Hutton spoke, remember he said, E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen? Yeah. Well, when Jesus speaks, we ought to listen. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through what? So how many other ways are there to God? How many of you have been told there's all these different ways to God? If you're good and you do all these things, you can be God. No. The Bible says, Jesus said this, that I am the way, the truth, and life. No one, that means you or me, comes to the Father except through me. Let me give you a good example. Think about a gated community. And there's houses behind the gate. And the only way you can get in through the gate is if you have an access code. And once you put that code in there, it says access granted, and then you get to go in and you drive through and you get to where you need to go. Sometimes there's a guarded shack and you have to give your name. I'm going to see so and so at such and such address. What's your name? They look on the list. Okay, I have to call them first. I have to verify that you can come through. Your name's on that list. They say access granted. The gate goes up and you go on in. There's only one way in to that development is through that gate. Only one way. But isn't it interesting when you are already inside the gated community and you leave, you don't need to punch a key to get out. There's already freedom. You have access to anything in that space. You no longer have to enter a key to get out, but you have to have access to get in. When you have a personal relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you access to the Father. He reconciles you back to the Father. He gave you the gate key to get in to the mansions of heaven. I thought about that. And I said, Lord, you're funny. You know, when I go to be with you and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, I understand all that. So what? He goes, well, I got mansions in heaven. And he said, as long as you're serving me on this earth and you leave, you don't have to worry about the gate key or the code, because access, it won't be denied. It will already be open for you to come. To come and go as you want, from mansion to mansion, to worship me, to praise me. Why? Because I've learned that God has already created a way when there seems to be no way. See, we have to get this morning that we are reconciled through Jesus. There's only one way. I used to thought there was many ways, but there's only one way to God. And that's through His Son, Jesus. Not through Buddha. Not through some other act of kindness and all these great things. Access only comes when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's only one way. And the reason why there's only one way is because it would be confusing if there were more than one or two or three or four or five different ways. So Jesus wanted to make it so easy for us. He already did all the work for it. He already made it easy on us by saying there's only one way. Through His Son, Jesus. Only one way. He is the truth. That's what it says. You know, facts change, but the truth always remains the same. I've been in situations where I've stood on the truth of God and I watched facts change against me to my favor because I stood on the truth. The truth never changes. The truth remains the same. The truth will set you free. Truth about it is that Jesus did die on a cross for us. Jesus rose from the dead and Jesus gave us access. But it's denied to those that don't want to serve Him. He said He's the truth and the way. He is the life. Without Him, we have no life. Without Him, we have no purpose. You're saying, well, Pastor, you know, you don't know what I've been through. You know, I've been through this and I've been through that. And, you know, I was taken advantage of when I was a young child. Or you know, I've been through a tough divorce and, you know, I've been beat up on. And God understands all that. And the nice thing about God is He loves you. And He's reconciled you back to Him. And He says, son and daughter, I want you to know that you are an ambassador for Christ Jesus. Where everywhere you go, you can praise my name. And people will want to hear it. People want what you have. Let me explain something to you. What you have, people need right now. People's lives are in turmoil. People are losing their houses. People are losing their children. People are on drugs. People are in disarray and they don't know where to turn, but you do. And you're the person that should be the mouthpiece that says, hey! Hey! I've been there, done that. I walled with the pigs. I lied and cheated and was a sinner, but now I got Jesus. I don't make me better than you. It just means the relationship I have with somebody can help you. You got to be led by God. God has made a way when there seems to be no way. That's what the Bible says. Lord, I don't know how we're going to do it. God says, follow my way. I'm going to show you how to get out. I got this plan of escape. Come on. He's trying to help you this morning. Reconcile. Turns my stomach to see these people on TV causing race riots and race issues when all they need to do is get in relationship with Jesus. Come on now. I know I step on toes. That's okay. Just get bigger shoes. Allow for some swelling to take place. I tell you the truth because the world won't tell you the truth. The world will tell you what you want to hear. The world will lie to you. I'm only telling you what the Word says. You don't believe me, you could read it for yourself. Heck, if you read it yourself, you might get saved. You might change. Change me. I used to be arrogant, conceited, and cocky until I got Jesus. Amen? My wife had to endure that. But she's seen the treasure somewhere buried in the field. Amen? She had to go through some of the junk to say, oh, there is a treasure. Hers, I didn't have to go as far. She was a treasure when I met her. Praise God. Pastor ain't no fool. I'm getting just a little spat so that we can reconcile. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'll continue on, thus saith the Lord. Is it okay to laugh at church? Is it okay to be real? I mean, seriously. Amen. We reconcile with God. Jesus has reconciled us to himself. Think about that for a minute. He did this through the cross. He came with a purpose. Do you realize that God created you with a purpose? A great purpose. And we got to learn to play our part and our role once we get reconnected to God. Our part is to share the word, to spread the gospel to the lost, and be an ambassador for Christ. Yeah, we have secular jobs and we do this and we do that, but really you're there to lead people to Jesus. I know what the policies at my work say about praying, but they're 300 miles away and I'm the boss over here, praise God. What do you mean you can't lay hands in every proposal that goes out? I do. That's why my office is number one. I just maybe that would be a factor. I know it is. When someone's going through hardship, they come and ask me, I tell them, hey, you know, I point them right to the direction. One way, Jesus. You're arguing and fighting with your wife and you're right about the borderline divorce. You know what? You both go to Jesus. Figure it out. If you get into his word, he'll show you. You're having problems with your kids, they're not listening, then what you need to do is go and use the word of God. Don't spare the rod. That's probably the reason why they are the way they are. My mom didn't spare the rod, and I'm okay, you know. She ain't here, that's why I can say that today. There's only one way to God. The road is narrow, and it leads to Jesus. It's through Jesus that you have access to God. Jesus made it easy for us to reconnect to the Father. The Bible says that your old life is gone and a new life has begun. Your old life. That's where the devil wants to keep you in your old life. The devil wants to remind you of your past so that he can hold you from your future. But Jesus reconciled you to him. So that you can forget your past and step forward into a glorious, awesome, great future. And you can begin that future today and not have to wait 20 more days. You could be the one that leads by example. I think about Martin Luther King, how he led. He didn't look at the color of his skin, but he looked to God. Why can't we be more like him? Well, someone might pick on us, or someone might assault us, Pastor, because we're speaking. No, no, no. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador. Put yourself in that position of ambassador. Doesn't it come with some perks? Doesn't it come with the security guards, you know? My son was a security guard in Afghanistan, and he worked for the ambassadors over there. Well, I was just thinking about that, that since I'm an ambassador of Christ, I have the security of many angels encamped around me, that no weapon formed against me will prosper, that I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in. I'm going to be more blessed going out. Why? Because when I speak a word to somebody, something's going to change. When you walk in, the atmosphere is going to change. People are going to look to you for the answer. Why? Because you've been reconciled with Christ. You got to go forth and live a life that draws people to Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. You have the great answer man inside of you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You have the mind of Christ. Think about that. We spoke about the mind for 4 weeks. Your mindset. You are precious in God's eyes. He reconciled you to the Father because he loved you. He counted all the cost. Jesus did that for you. Your elder brother. Make it personal. People say, oh yeah, can't see he's your elder brother. Yeah, he is my elder brother. He's a couple thousand years older than I am. He ain't my younger brother. I'm the youngest of the litter in my family. I got spoiled. Got all the spoils. Watch my brother get beaten all the time. Because he was stupid. First kids, you're roughest on the first one. It was true. And then the second one wears you down, and by the third one comes, you know, there's there, oh, well, I was beaten, I just let the kid do what he wants to do. Just kidding. My mom just became more ninja style with the paddle when it came my age. Because she had 9 years of beating the other two kids into submission. And when the third one came, I was the angel, of course. That's why back then I knew I was going to be a pastor. I was just testing and trying, giving her tests and trials. Amen. And what I was there for, right? Just kidding. I love my mom. Good people. Amen. But they led me to a lifestyle to serve God. They're always helping people, always blessing people. And they never really said, oh, I'm a Christian. They just did Christ-like things. You know, you watch. Someone was in need and my dad didn't have anything, but he would give of what he had. He worked 3 jobs in a sweatshop and then would still make it to church on Sunday morning at 6 o'clock to take me because I was the altar boy at 6 o'clock and I had to be there at 6 a.m. so we could be out at 6:45 to have breakfast with the priest. He would help neighbors when their cars broke down and spend time hours out there working with them in the hot and the heat because he just wanted to be Christ-like. Help the elderly. I learned to watch my dad helping people that were much older than him. And then he'd bring me along with him and say, come on, son, I'm going to show you how this is done. And never once saying, I'm Joe Christian. He was just showing me by his actions. And people would bless him. And then I figured out I would go and help the elderly, and they would bless me. Not that I was expecting, but they wanted to. You're a fine young gentleman. You're an ambassador of Christ. You've been created for a purpose. It's time for you and for me to change our city, to change the opinion of what we're seeing happening in our government. Amen? I mean, I was just thinking, the same God that reconciled me to him is the same God that can touch the president and the Republicans and the Democrats and the independents and the House and the Senate and all our offices in Nevada, the governor, and all those that are in authority over us. It's the same God that spread his blood for all of them too. And if they could just reconcile together. Because what did we say that definition of reconciliation was? Hold on, let me pull that up. It means ending of a conflict. Democrat, Republican. Ending a conflict or renewing of a friendly relationship between disputing people and groups. A settlement or understanding. A bringing together what was once separated. America is separated. Separated because of this or because of that, because of race, because of finances, because of the rich, because of the poor. We're separated. And Jesus came to reconcile us all together. The one you don't like much will probably be your neighbor in heaven. Because God has got a sense of humor. The one you thought, man, that person's just been under my skin. Yeah, they're a Christian, but that person will be your neighbor. You laugh, but it's true. So I try to treat everybody good because I want to be a good neighbor. This morning, we're going to worship God. And I want you to take this time when we worship Him and you lift your hands and you praise Him and you adore Him for what He's done, that you allow Him to reconcile with you. You wanted some things on your own terms, but God wants to put it on His terms. Today would be a good day that you reconcile back to Christ, because it doesn't mean you're going to have a tomorrow. As Dell shared with me this morning, you know, there's a drunk driver that took some lives yesterday or early this morning. You just don't know when your number's up. I mean, there's angels encamped around you, but the devil doesn't like you. Amen? So this morning, we're going to get ready for worshiping God. And I just want you to take this time to reconcile with Him. Because He loves you. He cares about you. Do you believe that He died on the cross for you? Because He loves you. Because He wants the best for you. He wants you to be on top. He wants you to live a life that changes others' lives. When it goes down in the history books, how many people did you bring to Christ? Your life may be tore up from the floor up. You may have junk in your trunk. You may have been divorced 6 times. It don't matter. Once you receive Jesus, He's forgiven you. It could be a family member that's picked on you and you just don't like them. But you still got to love them. There's a multitude of things I don't like, but I have to love them. Might not have to agree with them, but I got to love them. Maybe another ambassador will speak in their lives other than this ambassador. Maybe they'll hear it differently from that one than from this one. Come on now. My brother couldn't lead me to Christ. But another ambassador came. Said the same thing as my elder brother did. But I didn't listen. Spoke the same love of Christ, but I didn't want to hear. I turned them off. You're whacked out. You're no longer the same sinner like me. What's going on? He got reconciled with God and his life changed. So God will send another ambassador to speak into that person's life. God visited me every day in a hospital bed for 15 days. I said, here He comes. God, where's that morphine pump? I'd hear Him down the hallway praising God. He'd come during His work hour and take His whole work hour to pray for me. Oh, here He comes again. God. But He was persistent. Never condemning. Showing the love of Christ. He was an ambassador for God. I spoke mean things to him, and I was telling him I was under the influence of the medication, of course. And then he'd bring me tapes. At the time, we had tapes. I know some of you are younger, and you don't know what tapes and 8-tracks are, but, you know, it was my generation. And brought me a cassette, Instruments of Praise. And he said, just listen to this. There's no words. I'm like, good, I didn't want to listen to anything else. But just the music playing in the background began to eat away my thoughts and my preconceived ideas until the heart was soft and the ambassador came to speak again. And then I received. And then once I received, my blood sugars went normal. My whole body, my whole continent, my the doctors were amazed. What just happened? Another soul was saved. Another believer was set up. Another ambassador was put into place. One got reconciled back to the Father. So this morning, as we worship God, why don't you all come worship God? Allow Him just to minister to you and through you this morning. Amen.